If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Fast Lane, baby. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get you home. We'll talk some sports here. Tournament talk coming up in 20 minutes. Scott Docterman of The Athletic is going to join us and talk tourney with you. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
All right, shout out to Micah Parsons. He had that bowling event last week, the community programs at Pins for a Purpose. It ended up raising $167,000, and that's going to the foundation initiative impacting families, youth, and Gold Star families. A Gold Star family is the immediate family members of a fallen service member who died while serving in a time of conflict. So congratulations to Micah for putting on that event, and that's awesome. $167K, that's going to benefit a great, great cause. Latest NFL draft rumoruskies. According to Cowturd, now you can take this with a grain of salt, said he talked to an NFL exec last night. Very well connected.
So did I.
This is a keep your head on a swivel.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Like Cleveland guy? Oh.
I'm told the Steelers really like Jalen Milroe. 21st pick, first round. So if Aaron signs with Pittsburgh, it's going to become Kirk Cousins. They're taking a quarterback if the 21st pick Milroe's not taken. Pittsburgh is leaning now and taking him. I also saw somebody else who is working in the Pittsburgh market today say that they are eyeing Jackson Dart. Either way, whichever the quarterback ends up being, whether it's Dart, whether it's Milroe, and we'll see. I don't know if Dart's going to be there at 21. Steelers might need to call up to 12 and say, hey, we need to go get our guy. Well, they don't have a second-round pick anymore, Brian, so we might have to get creative with how we're going to make that trade work.
Sure.
But Steelers in the market for a quarterback, and I would not be surprised if at 21, unless they move up, if it ends up being Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe there.
I'll tell you what, the fact that Pittsburgh was in town. They went to Tuscaloosa for that workout, right?
They did, and they also
Took him out to dinner.
Took out Will Howard to dinner, too, the Ohio State quarterback.
Yeah.
So they're doing their homework on these QBs.
They're doing their homework, and I kind of feel like, though, that if you're Milroe, Howard, those guys are kind of in that same grouping there. I would be really surprised. I'd be surprised if Milroe went in the first round.
I would be, too.
But if you're going to... Dawson and I were all talking about this the other day. If you're going to take a flyer on a guy, on a quarterback, that's the one to take. You could have Shuck and all these other guys. Fine, take them. You know, those guys are, they got some good trade. That Milroe, if you could kind of figure some things out with him
as a passer,
because
he is a weapon with his legs.
He is a super athlete. The way he plays.
Unbelievable. Now, he brought up Aaron Rodgers there. Mm-hmm. Rodgers had an interesting note from Adam Schefter here. This was Schefty talking about the future of A-Rod for next year.
I think, Chewy, that first of all, they both need each other right now, frankly. And that's if Aaron wants to play, which I'm not convinced yet that he does. Until I hear him say, I want to play, then I can tell you people are asking that question about whether he wants to play. Like, it's come up. People have said to me, hey, are you sure he wants to play? No, I'm not sure. I'm hearing he might not want to play. Which, by the way, again, I don't want to speak for him because I don't want to get called out. But, you know, we're speculating. But it shouldn't be that hard. Like, either you want to play for the Steelers or you don't, right? Like, what are we waiting for? I don't see too many free agents who go visit a team for 6 hours, think about something, and what's the question? What's the issue? They want you. You don't want them? Clearly, you have questions. I don't know if that's playing for that team, living in that city, playing football, and what there's something that's holding you back because they want them.
That's courtesy of ESPN Milwaukee. This guy's such a pain in the ass. I mean,
figuring that out now.
If you're one of the, I mean, I've never liked him. First off, he was the boogeyman with what he did by ripping our hearts out as Cowboy fans and stomping on it over and over again multiple times. But dude, just retire. Just go away. We need to stop. And honestly, this will be the last time until Rodgers makes a decision that I'm going to bring him up during NFL News of the Day. I'm over him. Screw you, Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not sure about that.
The hell over. If Eric wants to bring him up for Finest, go for it. I'm done with him.
Do you think he's intentionally trying to make this as Favre-like as possible in some weird sense of humor thing?
He just loves the attention.
Doing a weird bit.
And I guess
it's just attention.
He loves the attention. He absolutely loves the attention, and he knows we'll continually give him the attention because, you know, because of what he did, five, six, 7 years ago. Not what he's done the last couple of years, but we'll continue to give him attention because he's a polarizing guy. And we kind of like the train wreck a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's a train wreck is what he is.
So Charles Davis, CD.
He's out of at Fox. Or not Fox, at CBS.
J.J. Watt took his gig. Yeah. He might just bump down. But Charles Davis is like, he's a survivor, man. He was on Fox and then moved
super
to CBS,
nice
NFL Network, and he's good at what he does.
Super nice guy.
So he's still an NFL media analyst as well with NFL Network. Schrags is leaving. We saw that. Peter Schrager's leaving Fox and NFL Network. Rumor is he's going to go to ESPN.
I saw they were in talks.
Probably get a nice payday there for Peter Schrager. But here was Charles Davis's new mock draft. He does have the quarterbacks going 1-2. He's got Ward at 1 to Tennessee, Shador at 2 to Cleveland, which still, until they actually take Abdul Carter or someone else, I do think quarterbacks are going to go 1-2. I could be very wrong, but I'm going to stick with that for now. That means Abdul Carter, who's not working out, by the way, is going to go 3 to the Giants here. Giants also do have a visit scheduled with Abdul Carter, but he will not be working out at the Penn State Pro Days. He's still rehabbing that shoulder that he injured during the college football playoff.
Foot and shoulder, huh?
He's got the foot and the shoulder. You thinking Bustola there?
No.
Just banged up guy?
No, it's kind of a banged up guy.
Travis Hunter goes 4 to the Patriots. Membu, 5 to the Jags. Wow. The tackle from Mizzou.
He started off like
crazy.
He started off like at 25, and now he's 5.
Top 5 pick.
Yeah.
Genty is off the board. He goes 6 to the Raiders. So we go down to pick 12 for the Cowboys, and he does have Teteroa McMillan.
Available?
The wide receiver.
Or did he pick him?
Out of Arizona. He goes to the Cowboys. They're at 12.
Good deal.
Which I'd be a big, big fan of. Now, here is some audio that, shout out to Landry Locker, our friend in Houston, sent this to me. He was like, dude, have you seen this? It's like, no, I haven't. So I guess there's a YouTube channel that did a day in the life of Teteroa McMillan. It's called Offseason, Episode 1.
Mm.
And there's one part of this, Teteroa McMillan's just, he's hanging out with one of the guys that does the show. And they're just eating and talking with each other. And this comes up about watching football. Does this impact what you think about Tet McMillan? Gavin, I think I know your response here.
I don't watch football.
You know what? You don't watch football?
At all. At all.
Is it hard to watch film then if you don't like watching football?
Yeah.
For real? That's crazy.
I don't like watching film either. I don't ever need to watch it by myself because we go over as a receiver group.
Doesn't like watching football. It does make watching the tape individually a little bit more difficult, but he watches the tape as a receivers group. They go over it together. Now, this isn't the first player that we've heard about this. Like Steve Avila, this came up a couple of years ago from TCU. Trayvon
Micah
Diggs,
Parsons?
I've heard, might be one of these guys. Micah Parsons. Yeah, like some
Micah
of these,
Parsons hates classroom football.
Yeah. Now, I think he loves football. Micah loves watching football.
I totally
agree.
But
you're right. I don't know that he likes to do the tape portion of it.
He does not. I mean, he bounces from meeting room to meeting room, and the other guys have to kind of shoo him off in a nice way.
Yeah.
Like, Micah, go back to your room, you know, kind of a thing.
Amari Cooper has this same mentality. Doesn't really love watching football. I don't know if he's a big tape guy either. But I do know some people, I mean, it's noteworthy. You know, this is the first negative thing that I've heard from Tet McMillan. Otherwise, he is clean on and off the field. But doesn't love football.
If that's the worst thing
watching,
about you.
Doesn't like watching it.
Doesn't like watching.
Loves playing it, maybe.
Yeah.
But not necessarily watching it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to limit an athlete's development if you're not watching it. Both from an amateur and youth perspective, like how do you get inspired? How do you see what you could be mimicking You know, there's ways around that, I guess. But congrats to him. Despite not watching anybody play football, apparently he's got incredible game, great creativity to his craft. But that wouldn't stop me from taking him. You know, obviously you want to have great leaders, and he's not going to be a great football leader for you. You know, doesn't love the game. You know, like that. So I think that could go against him slightly, but I mean, he's such a damn talented guy.
He's so good. And yeah, like Brian, you brought up a good point there, because I think we do hear that. We run with it and we're like, okay, so he doesn't love the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you not like watching football, but you love playing the game?
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, I don't know that like we can take it as he doesn't love football, because we already got some texts in like, I don't want a guy who doesn't love the game. I don't know that that means he doesn't love the game.
You would love the fact if him and CeeDee Lamb are on the field together at the same time. You'd absolutely like love that.
I didn't love to hear that, but it's not something that I'm going to change my opinion on him.
Like watching it.
Yeah.
It does has nothing to do with.
But that's another
playing.
Way you can learn it.
He. Like, you know,
what's a sign of your passion about the sport?
Let's be honest. Let's all be honest about this. We ain't sitting down and watching every Thursday night game, are we?
No.
We're not.
Not start to finish.
We're not. We're not. And there's some games on Sundays and Saturdays that if we got something else to do because we work the hours we do, we're not going to watch all the games. Does it mean we hate the game?
No.
It doesn't. Now, we learn things. We go back. We could study it. He's talking about film room stuff.
Yeah.
Be honest with you. There's times where I hate watching football, and I do it every single day. And there's times I get tired of it, you know, but you have to, there's people that just, they could disconnect from it, you know, and maybe he's one of these guys. I mean, we give Micah Parsons a lot of credit. I admire Micah Parsons for something that he's able to walk away and go have a life.
Mm-hmm.
I lost two marriages basically because of football. You know what I'm saying? So you know, if you don't have that ability to walk away, or you don't have to love the game to play it. It's a hard game if you don't, you know, if you don't, but
might help though. Yeah. You know, I think he has fallen out of the top 10, Brian, hasn't he?
Oh, well, it's not because of that. It's because people are scared of his speed or lack of. They don't think he's a fast guy. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody tell me that he doesn't like football.
No, this is the first thing, like the first possible any type of, and I don't even know if this is a negative for teams, but the first thing that otherwise he's supposed to be like characters through the roof, great dude, locker room guys, excellent, and the tape is undeniable. Like to me, I do think he's the best guy, but yeah, I'd love to hear that my dude's a film junkie and that does love to watch it, but I was interested in your input on this, Brian, because obviously you've made a living doing this.
Yeah, there's been some guys that absolutely love the game and watch film and do all that and are terrible players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could probably in my mind sit down and name five guys that all they did was watch tape, care about the game, and were terrible players.
So like a front office would hear that and it's not going to, they're not going to overreact about that?
No.
Not an issue?
I'm wondering about a guy making a transition from college to the NFL that's not fast, though. Like, you're going to have to be more aware.
Then ask that question. Then ask. Yeah. That's the question you ask. If you're scared of his speed, that's a legitimate question.
But it's scared of that along with, you're not going to watch so much film that you give yourself an edge. You're not going to know what the defense is doing.
He plays at such a level, his route running.
Yeah, he'll be effective.
Is so precise.
Yeah.
That is God-given talent right there.
Yes. But the guys that take the God-given talent and outwork everybody can take it to a higher level. This guy's ceiling is not what a football lover ceiling or a film junkie's ceiling would be. A grinder ceiling. He's basically telling you, you know, I don't want to put in all the work. I don't put in the work. Guess what? Nobody likes to go do all this extra work.
No.
That's what makes the greats great.
He's just saying he doesn't like to watch football. That's all he's saying.
But he also said he does not watch film unless he's doing it with the team. He said that.
But that's his response. I mean, they all do. They all watch film. But I'm not going to fault a guy for not watching football games on a weekly basis. I'm not.
Don't we celebrate the guys that watch extra film by themselves because of the edge that it gives them? So he doesn't have that. Okay. He can be a 9 out of 10. He won't be a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I'm using pick 12.
You would use him. You'd still take him at 12.
I'm saying it's a factor in my conversation because I'm picking at 12. Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's say you had him and Golden neck and neck, or Igbuka. I mean, I don't know. Like, Igbuka is that dude. Igbuka is that guy that is, like, first one in, last one out of the facility.
Sure.
And
he's not as good as McMillan.
But no, he's not as good. No, he's not as good as McMillan. True. He's not. Yeah. He's not. Yeah, he makes catches that nobody else can make in this draft.
Yeah.
With his catch radius, 100%. Last thing here, Hunter Renfrow. We brought him up as well. I think did we comp Xavier Restrepo to him a little bit, similar games? Hunter Renfrow, former Clemson receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So he retired. Now all of a sudden he wants to come back. So he's already visited with two teams, the Panthers being one of them. He's 29 years old. He sat out football last year. Raiders reunion could also be in the works. So he's been talking with the Raiders, former fifth-round pick of them, possibly could go back, also Carolina. And then Devin White, one of the most just bizarre stories in career arcs I've ever seen. I mean, they win the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. Devin White looks like he's the best young linebacker in the league. Former LSU Tiger. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute stud. Then he kind of quits on Tampa Bay. Last year he goes to Philadelphia. Philly decides we don't want you even before the season starts. They get rid of him. So now he's signing a one-year deal to go and play with the Raiders. So he reunites with Tom Brady, whom he won a Super Bowl with, who's the minority owner there. He's going to play under defensive coordinator Patrick Graham, new head coach Pete Carroll. So congratulations to Devin White. I guess we'll see how that works out. But my gosh, I thought he was going to be one of the greats. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, and you're kind of bouncing around just begging for a job.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
NFL News Today every afternoon, 3 o'clock here on The Fan. We're going to talk hoops with Scott Docterman of The Athletic next in the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time to talk some tournament segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us now here on 105.3 The Fan Talking Tournament. Good afternoon, Scott. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great on this Friday afternoon. Hope you guys are doing well yourselves.
We are. Yeah, I mean, that Tech comeback last night was pretty amazing. Lakers losing with a half-court shot. So we're pretty basketball excited here in the Metroplex on a Friday afternoon. And Scott, Paige Becker's coming to the league. Is she going to transform the wings or what?
I think she will. I think she'll be a great selection if the wings are the ones who end up deciding to go with her at number one. I had the pleasure, I guess it is, I live in Iowa, to cover Caitlin Clark the last few years and saw Paige Becker's up close last year in the Final Four. So she'll do great things. I don't think she'll have the Caitlin Clark impact, but nobody else does either.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. Well, Scott, what was it like covering with Clark? What was it like with, how was it? Was it a circus atmosphere? What was that like?
Yeah, I would compare it a lot of cases to maybe what Michael Jordan would have been like in the 90s in Chicago.
Sure.
Every single arena was sold out in the Big Ten, at home, the entire season. And in fact, there were places in the Big Ten like Northwestern where you might get 500-700 people there to a women's game, and instead you're paying those same prices, $500-700 just to get in the door. And then throughout the Big Ten, you saw a surge, I think an average of 10,000 more seats sold at these road games. And you'd see, close to 1,000, usually younger people, girls and boys, that would crowd like the tunnel areas wherever she was just to try to get an autograph, a handshake. It was a phenomenon that I've never seen before in any kind of sport. And I covered the NFL for 6 years. So she's one of a kind. And as we see in air impact in year two of the WNBA, all these teams are moving their games to the bigger, more NBA arenas just to accommodate what should be incredible turnout.
So have the Iowa fans become Indiana Fever fans?
Yes, absolutely. That and they were the Las Vegas Aces as well because of Kate Martin, but now she's with Golden State. But yeah, you could you go to a lot of the sporting goods stores, Indiana Fever. They're having in fact, it's funny. They're scrimmaging or playing an exhibition against the Brazilian team in May in Iowa City. The tickets sold out in 15 minutes. Mm. It was incredible. And I think their resale value right now is $600 a ticket.
So, Scott, I do want to talk college basketball with you, but we are big draft nerds on this show. And one of our favorite running backs is Caleb Johnson, who played with your Iowa Hawkeyes there, who you're covering. Can you share with us any insight on Caleb Johnson as he's getting ready for this NFL draft?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. If you remember David Johnson when he played with the Cardinals, that's the kind of running back you're going to get. He's physical. He's a really a long strider, has really good feet and power, but also some elusiveness. That's not as necessarily his forte, but he had, I think, 21 runs of 20-plus yards this year, because once he gets past that second level, it's really hard to catch him, even though he is a bigger back. He's 6'1", 6'2", probably 225, 230, and it really kind of grew into that role. He always had the natural ability, but this year he was able to kind of run behind his pads. He was able to make himself get small when he needed to, but really was very powerful. So I think if Jerry wants to make that pick, I think that would be a terrific one for the Cowboys, unless they want to go with Ashton Jeanty in the first round, and he might be just a little better than Caleb.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic here on The Fan. So you think round two for Caleb's good?
Yeah, I think so. If you could get him in what would it be somewhere around the early 40s, the Dallas picks in the second round, I think he'd be a really good pick. Yeah, absolutely.
So being there in Big Ten country, we've got several Big Ten teams in action tonight in the Sweet 16. Ole Miss will be starting off with Michigan State. That'll be our first game nationally televised on CBS, but also Michigan and Auburn, Purdue and Houston. What do you think about the Big Ten's chances to maybe get all three in the Elite Eight?
I would say I would favor one of those three, and that would be Michigan State against Ole Miss. And that's got kind of an interesting battle of styles. Ole Miss is one of the best teams in the country when it comes to turnover margin, and Michigan State's not great there. But Michigan State's second in the country in rebounding margin, and Ole Miss is terrible there. So I think Michigan State probably has the edge in that area. They've got they're really balanced. They don't necessarily have a lot of great scorers, but they've got a tremendous coach. And I think that, they're first in the country in field goal defense. I think they can probably get past Ole Miss. But Michigan playing Auburn, this is not one that I would probably go with the Big Ten. I think Auburn's just too deep. I mean, when you have Jahni Broome, he's just, if it's either him or Cooper Kupp or Cooper Flag. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Now you got me in football mode. Mm-hmm. Cooper Flag is two of the best players in the country. So pick one, and you're not wrong. And I think Auburn's too deep, got too much scoring. Michigan's, they've got some players, but this was an incredible year for them because they were last place by four games last year in the Big Ten. Now, a team that's really been underrated is not that far from you is Houston. And number one in scoring defense, defensive efficiency, I think Purdue plays right into their hands. They've got two great players, and the rest of them are a bunch of players. And so I think with Braden Smith and Trey Kaufman-Wren are terrific. But I think Houston puts the clamps on them, and I think this one could be a 15-point outcome probably for the Cougars.
Hey, Scott, you're talking about all these Big Ten teams, and I was just curious before we get you out of here, is your thought about how the expansion of the Big Ten and the future of the Big Ten with the expansion?
Yeah, I think on the basketball end, it's gonna be solid. Yeah, it's been 25 years since the Big Ten won a national championship, and really it's just going to be a matter of could any of those teams, whether it's UCLA or Indiana now with a new coach or Michigan State or whoever, can get a guard or two who can really make things happen or get the best player in the country. And that's something the Big Ten hasn't had over that period. In football, it's clearly an upgrade. Mm-hmm. What we saw with Oregon, Ohio State played at a high level. This year coming up, you've got Penn State. I think Michigan will bounce back with a new quarterback and Bryce Underwood, the number one recruit of the country. I think the Big Ten is much more solid right now in football. You're waiting for USC to come around. But other than that, Washington to return to what it was a couple of years ago. So, but basketball, I mean, you're always judged by, can you get to the Final Four and can you win a championship? And I'm not so sure that it helps them in that regard, other than it just makes it a deeper conference than it usually is.
Scott Docterman, Athletic, talking tournament with us. Thank you so much, Scott. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me.
Salute. There he goes. And a must follow. I think especially if you're interested in Big Ten sport.
Big Ten.
Very versatile college sports reporter there, Brian. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, you recognize that about him.
Yeah, sure.
Calvin
did.
Watkins reporting Micah and his agent expected to ask for a $200 million contract here in the morning news today. That's easy right there. No problem. $40 million a year, 5 years. Bump it up a little bit to get him a little bit more than Jamar Chase, I believe, at 40.25. That's the top. Go ahead and make Mike a number one. Should be no problem for the Cowboys. I mean, they're paying Dak like $5 or $6 million more than any other quarterback.
Sure.
Should be no problem. But I just wonder what's holding up this deal, Brian. And I just maybe they just don't want to work that hard. That's one theory. Mm-hmm. That we're going to offer you a team-friendly deal early. If you don't like it, we'll give you a player-friendly deal at the deadline. That appears to be what they do. They cave. But could they all – I had this thought driving in. Could they be engagement farming? Like what we're doing right now, what ESPN, what NFL Network does. You know how much that is worth? You know,
oh, sure.
Just getting all those segments in,
oh, sure.
It's millions and millions of dollars of marketing.
Absolutely.
So, hey, we pay our players more, but you know what happens? NFL Network and ESPN give us about $200 million worth of advertising over these stories.
Yeah, it's funny that you would just think of that because
I say this in
respect. You're the one that always told me this. And I never wanted to believe you when you said, Broadus, it's about the marketing there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, Dawson's, it's about the winning. Yeah. They want to win. Come on, man. You never sat in that chair. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised you just came up with that thought because
I'm disappointed in myself. I'm a little slow these days.
You can't discount the number of eyeballs that are on these programs. And it's every morning and podcasts. And it's, you know, even when there's no intention of talking about it, they're talking about it.
They don't suck this bad at negotiating, Wolchek. It makes no sense.
Mm-mm.
They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I do think a lot of these I've wondered as well. Do they wait to the final hour because it's going to generate the conversation and it allows them to stay in the news cycle? I know we got a lot of Tolos that text that in.
Yeah.
Like they'll wait on Micah like they've waited on Dak. They waited on CD. I mean, it was the NFL season opener. Opening day in the NFL. Hmm. And what was the big story? The Cowboys announced their deal with Dak Prescott.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't put it past them that they do love the conversation. And I do think that it's silly because even if they got ahead of some of these things, they'll find another way to talk about the Cowboys. So I don't think that you have to have these deals. Honestly, you're doing yourself a disservice by not getting ahead of it. But there's got to be some truth to that.
I am excited about where this draft is headed, though. Either a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, or a wide receiver, or a corner, maybe outside shot for a corner. Like something exciting is
going
to happen at 12.
You can keep going.
There's more spots?
Just keep going.
More positions.
Yeah, more positions to be. Yeah, this is a huge draft for them. I'm not saying anything you guys already don't know. But they have to... They have to find a way to hit this, and they also have to find a way to hit in college free agency afterwards and spend some money and go get some guys that were on their draft board that they think can play. They still got a lot of holes to fill. But I tell you what, I give them credit for the way that they used trades, and then they went and signed free agents. If they would have just sat there and done nothing, this team would have been completely doomed. It's still not out of the woods, but at least they gave themselves a chance to draft, and that's what they needed.
David Murphy coming up at 4 o'clock here in the nation. Former Ranger great, World Series participant, joins us at 4 o'clock. Ranger broadcaster David Murphy. Krusty's Corner coming up next, though. Brian, where are you taking that?
Yeah, I've got some day 2, day 3 guys that Wolchek and I are going to go through just to kind of give you an idea of who they are. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Tritely. In for Lucius, you have James Tritely here producing, keeping the Gators down best he can. Did forget to turn on Wolchuk's mic in the opening segment, but since then it's been smooth.
I think it was a brilliant move on his part, though, to be honest with you there.
Send him a message.
Yeah, great. Just kind of like, you know, get your game together.
We're already on 10-2 before that, so, you know, need to hear more of you.
Yeah, we do. More
trying to cross over all the shows if I can.
Yeah, I think maybe Zach's very own version of the KMC masterpiece, Peace-a-thon, I think is what I heard him talking about earlier.
I think he would be up
for
that.
Got big plans for that.
Yeah, we're going to raise money for the adopted pets out there.
But baseball season is back. Rangers fans, pregame coming up at 6:30. David Murphy's going to join us here in just 15 minutes at 4 o'clock. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank you to Reliant as well. Zach.
My mic's not working.
I'm down to about my last 20 guys.
Yeah, you've been on a gauntlet, dude. I'm proud of you. I'm going to be getting this thing right up to draft day.
Are you?
But I'm going to get there.
You're going to get there?
Oh, I'll get there.
All right. I look forward to that. I need your help, though.
I got you.
Pro Football Focus has put out some guys that maybe some people aren't talking enough about.
Okay.
And I think these are guys you've all seen. So I'm hopefully not asking anybody you haven't seen. But I just wanted to go through a couple of guys that maybe some Cowboy fans, or maybe you're a fan of, you know, just listen to us because of, we do talk about the draft and stuff like that. Maybe you're listening. You want to learn a little bit about some of these players because, you know, we'll talk about them. But I want to start off with your thoughts on R.J. Harvey from Central Florida.
Mm.
And is R.J. Harvey a guy that you would consider for the Dallas Cowboys if, in fact, that you do not say you do not get one at 12, you do not get one at 44, would you consider him at 76? And tell me about him, what you think about him as a player.
I absolutely would. I love him. I mean, R.J. Harvey, and it, when you talk about the next wave of backs that are outside kind of the consensus top five, if you will,
mm-hmm.
he's probably my favorite one. In fact, I think I do have him as my RB6 overall. He's a fifth-year senior. He spent his redshirt season at Virginia. Then he transferred over to UCF.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was a starting quarterback in high school, and he is a creative runner, incredible quickness,
he makes
finishing
people miss.
Ability. He really, really does.
Yeah.
Now he's small. He's 5'8", 205,
mm-hmm.
but he runs with some power to his game.
Right.
I do see very Bucky Irving-like, and you saw what Bucky Irving was able to do last year for Tampa Bay. He's a guy that if the holes opened up, it's a chunk play. He's going to absolutely take it to the house, but he's also a guy that has to create for himself at times. Naturally wins with leverage, contact balance and awareness, physical at the point of attack and run through tacklers,
mm-hmm.
can get tough yards in between the tackles when he needs to. He does have the speed to bounce to the outside. I think sometimes he's his own worst enemy because he'll get caught going a little too much east and west,
mm-hmm.
Trying to reverse field and make a play where there's nothing there, and it'll end up getting tackled for a loss. But overall, you don't see a lot of negative plays with him. I absolutely love him.
Yeah, I love him too because I think if you have an offensive line that's good but not great, I think this guy with his ability to make people miss and his ability to, once he gets into the second level, he can finish runs. So keep an eye on this guy. For a short guy, by the way, vertical jump of a 38 and a broad jump of 10.7.
The explosiveness
That's some power in that lower body. Okay, wide receiver. Where would you have a Jalen Noel from Iowa State? So a lot of people think that he's just kind of a slot player.
Yeah.
How do you see him? And would you? Is he a guy that you would consider? Is he another one of those guys, maybe not at 44, but would you consider him at 76 if you didn't have a guy there?
That's right where I've got him, in that third round range. He's also tiny, 5'10", 194. He was co-captain past two seasons there at Iowa State, also co-special teams player of the year in the Big 12. He was a Reese's Senior Bowl guy, one of the most productive receivers in school history, just had 80 catches, under 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, and he's a guy that wasn't a huge recruit coming out of Missouri. Tough, competitive, quick. He plays bigger than his 5'10 frame is listed. He can go up and make some tough catches. Smooth route runner, good body control along the sideline, footwork, strong hands. He attacks the ball in the air, which is what I love. I think some of these receivers in this class, you'll see a lot, they'll let it come into his body. Mm-hmm. Jalen Noel will pluck it right out of the air. Very quarterback-friendly receiver. Gets in and out of his breaks quickly. Impressive burst and acceleration after the catch. Doesn't break a ton of tackles now when it comes to yak. He's more of a run-away-from-you type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did notice a couple of drops from him. Some, and they might be concentration drops, but I do like the player. I wonder, though, with that size, can he win consistently on the outside?
Well, you know, if you look back at the metrics, 13 of his 25 contested targets were catches. So for a shorter guy, he does play well. And again, another metric you need to know about this guy, 46 of his 80 receptions went for first downs this year.
Yeah, that's a
so this guy is
move the chains player.
He absolutely is. Okay, a lot of people have talked about tight end here,
mm-hmm.
but everybody seems to think that Warren from Penn State is going to be is getting mocked here. I don't think they would do that. But I really, really do like Mason Taylor from LSU.
Dude.
And do you have to take Mason Taylor at 44 like you did Schoonmaker, or do you feel like you'd have to wait on him?
I think you'd have to take him at 44. I've got.
And would you take a tight end for the Cowboys at 44?
Yeah, I would, and I've argued this, and I don't know. I've seen, like, I put out a tweet today. What's your dream scenario at 12? What's your nightmare scenario? And there are a lot of Cowboy fans that have said their nightmare scenario is a tight end, like Tyler Warren at 12. I don't understand that, because I think if you're able to get another tight end.
So you're moving on from Ferguson kind of mentally?
It's not really moving on from him. I like the idea of 12 personnel and playing both, but you also are going to have to make a decision coming up on Ferguson's contract. I think this is the last year of his deal. I think he's about to be a free agent. Do you have the room to pay for him? Mm-hmm. Mason Taylor, I mean, the bloodlines are there. Dad is Jason Taylor, former Hall of Fame player. Uncle Zach Thomas, former Hall of Fame player. And I know you don't want to gush over him, but I'll do it for you. Most productive tight end in LSU history.
Yeah.
With 129 catches, 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns this year. He caught at least one pass in 28 straight games. He's the model of consistency. I put this dude as a smooth operator in my notes. He can line up all over the formation, can play out of the slot, adjust to the ball well. He can track and see the ball in the air, smooth release off the line. He's a consistent route runner. He's got timing for the delayed routes when they go off on screens. They need a big play. They're looking at Mason Taylor on third down. He's slippery after the catch. He's not a burner, but he moves well. He's just an all-around good player. You could see maybe he can improve as a blocker. I think he could be a better Mark Andrews type player at the next level. I absolutely love Mason Taylor, and he's a name that should be talked about much more.
So there's no way that you could get him at the 76.
I don't think so. He's going to last. I mean, I don't know how the rest of the league feels about him. I think you'd have to target him in the second round.
Okay, what about East Carolina cornerback Shavon Revelle?
Revelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Revelle could be the best corner in the draft for me if it weren't for that injury.
He had an ACL during practice in week 3.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Yeah.
Now, he did just run his 40 today. And
was he in the 4.5 range?
4.45 to 4.5 is what I saw Jordan Reed put out there.
Okay.
But he's a guy, man, two-way star in high school, played both corner and receiver, and you see a little bit of that from him. Like, he understands routes. He understands what a receiver is trying to do. He's got a rare ability to attack the ball in the air, does a good job reading the wide receiver's eyes and hands when the ball's about to be there, and then he's able to attack the football. Long press corner, runs well, he's sticky in coverage. He's a true outside player.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the quickness to move inside and play some slot. I think he's a little bit stiff to do that. I think he needs to stay outside and play the boundary, but he's got good recovery speed. He does not shy away from contact. He's a very willing tackler. That would be a blue star special at 44, because that's a first round talent that you'd be getting in the second round due to injury.
Okay, him or Morrison from Notre Dame, which would you rather have if you had to take an injured player that's got first round talent?
I would take Revelle.
Okay.
Because the hip, I know you can come back from the ACL.
Yeah.
Are the hips going to continue to be an issue for Benjamin Morrison?
Okay. Cowboys, we've heard about the Cowboys talking about their 30 visit stuff. And the Andrew Mukuba. Okay. And we had this discussion on the draft show the other day about Mukuba. Is safety really something that Dallas should be looking at with Mukuba?
I mean, I think you could improve on all the safeties that you have on the roster. Like, which one of your safeties is a difference maker right now? I don't know.
This kid's a difference maker.
And he is, and there's a couple that you can get. He's my safety, too, in the class. He's a transfer from Clemson, and he actually made history. First Clemson freshman to start a season opener since 1973. Kid was born in Zimbabwe, immigrated to America at 9 years old. I mean, he's a physically imposing presence. This is a guy where you better know where he is, because he'll come up and hit you. His ability to run the alley in the run game, super, super impressive. But he can do everything you need him to do in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Single high, he can come up and cover the slot a little bit for you. Just does a little bit of everything. He is one of the better all-around athletes at the safety position, and the size is there to cover tight ends as well at the next level.
Yeah.
I thought he was really impressive watching them in the Cotton Bowl against Ohio State.
Right.
He had times where he had to match up with Jeremiah Smith one-on-one.
Right.
And he held his own.
I think people are looking for that Brian Branch guy from Detroit that could play as safety, but also maybe cover in the slot.
Yeah.
and like do a lot of multiple things. He's got that. This guy has it, but you have to take this kid at 44, though, don't you?
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
All right, the last one we're going to do here real quickly is Carson Schwesinger, the linebacker from UCLA.
Okay.
You see him more at 76 than you do at 44, right?
I would like him.
Or a little bit later. I mean, you don't have the four, but where would you like him at one of those spots? Would you like him at 76, or is that too rich?
No, it's not at all. It's not rich at all. I actually have him at the bottom of the second round. Okay. So I think he's the second best linebacker in the draft behind Jahad Campbell, and that's only because I have Jalen Walker as an edge player and not a linebacker. Mm-hmm. But this dude was a first-team All-American Butkus Award finalist, played in 38 games, 10 starts, though. So he really broke out this year across four seasons at UCLA. Super productive, though. 163 tackles, 11 for loss, 5 sacks, 2 interceptions. True run-and-hit linebacker, but he's instinctive as hell. Really strong against the run, effective blitzer. He's at his best when he's just going downhill. Attack, see, read, react the football. Short area quickness and closing speed. Has sideline to sideline ability. Fluid hips. This guy's best football is ahead of him.
I think so too. And the fact that he played the season at about 228 pounds. At the combine, he was 242. So the fact that he's putting on weight, I think this guy could play as a Will linebacker.
Agreed.
And be a starter and be a guy that could come in here for the Cowboys and be a starter at the position. His ability to play downhill, as you mentioned, he's a really good tackler. The fact he's put on weight, he had 153 tackles for the season, and he rarely missed one. His miss rate was like 7% when it came to that. So this guy could chase, he could tackle, he could cover, high football IQ. Cowboys are looking for linebackers in this draft. I wouldn't be surprised if this kid gets a consideration. From the Cowboys. So
I'd love
when we get in it. And it very well, you're right. It might have to be. I don't know if they do it at 44, but gosh, if he was there at 76, I would surely think about pulling the trigger.
You just might have to reach on him because of how thin this linebacker group is.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Dawson.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We have David Murphy, former Rangers outfielder, on board with you next here on The Fan.